Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
So if you want to join them, where's Carmay? I saw her here this morning somewhere. Carmay, will you stand up quickly? She's a woman, a warrior woman. She's still single. So, but if you want to, if there's single guys here that want to pursue, you must come and speak to me. It's Lebola, because she's a very precious lady. But if you want to join them, just speak to her, because it's amazing. And especially a lot of offended Christians that have backslidden and go to these places, and they will just take their lives captive. So welcome back to everybody that is back. Everybody that's here for the first time this year, just wave at me if you're here. Oh, it's great to be here. It looks like a holiday wave that like. for those of you who didn't have a holiday, we trust you'll have some time of rest soon. I'm going to speak about something very simple this morning, about knowing God. You know, we've just come back from a mission, arrived on Friday night from Myanmar, which was the old Burma. I want to show you some pictures, if it's on there. That's sort of where we crossed the river, the Yangon River. Have you got it there? Oh. In these little boats to the other side. And we preached the gospel to people for the first time. People, some older people, some young kids. We got there, like, I don't know, it was probably 100 people in one little room. And I was sitting there, I was amazed by just, you know, Jock was preaching, and I was thinking about this very simple, simplistic story that we're telling these people, and they've heard about Jesus, some of them 45, some 50 years old, heard of Jesus for the first time. They've been preparing those people, I think, for a year, giving them food, some education, and we had the privilege actually to go in there and preach and tell them this is what it's about Jesus. And seeing the response of people that have never heard the gospel and the hunger and the thirst, I was sort of shocked for a couple of hours that whole day. I was thinking, like, how many times do we take the gospel and what Christ has come to do? How many times do we take it for granted? How many times do we hear about the cross and we sing about the cross and we sort of just go on? You know, that's normal, you know. It's sort of just part of our lives. It's another thing we put on the shelf. It's another thing we consider sometimes, but we go on with our lives. And I want to challenge you to get a bit out of your comfort zone this year and find a place where people have not heard the gospel. Go to a place where people are not churchgoers, because we sort of sometimes love to be in our own comfort zone and just be around Christians, because that's the easy thing to do. Until you come to a place where you see the response of the gospel and you understand how powerful it is what Christ has come to do. The second picture was just there in the church in Yangon, which is a southern city. Now, Myanmar is one of the top 20 persecuted countries in the world, and it's beginning to open up for the gospel. But there, when you tell people, hey, do you want to be hungry for God? Then everybody, all the pastors, everybody responds. Everybody comes to the front. You know, we had people of 10 different regions out of the 14 or 15 regions in the country we had there of pastors, just very simple, humble people. And they just respond and they worship. When you say, hey, let's sing in the spirit, then it's not like just a minute thing that you do. They start to, you know, half an hour later, everybody's dancing and it's just bananas and we're just going for Christ, you know. I must confess, I felt a bit unsaved. You know, when you especially go to the persecuted church and you see their hunger and their humility and their desire for God, and you realize, like, God, sometimes I just take so many things for granted, just knowing you, just the hunger, a thirst for your righteousness. And so where we're going to start in the scriptures is I'm going to read the first part that Gavin read. So it's always like to just sort of not talk to the guy doing the offering and you hear what they're sharing. So I'm going to read the first part where the writer to the Proverbs, he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Let's read it like this. In 2017, trust in the Lord with all your heart. In this year, may you not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, in everything you do in 2017, may you acknowledge him. In your work, in your family, in your relationships, in your telephone calls, in what you do on a Saturday evening, what you do on a Sunday afternoon, what you do on a Wednesday morning. And he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And now it says, hey, if you do these things, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with all your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Very, very simple scripture that we've read so many times. And I want to break it up for us into four things. The first thing is trust. He says, trust in the Lord. Now, do you know, all of us, as we're sitting here and as we're embarking in this year, we must acknowledge that we have trust issues. It's not easy for us to trust. Why? Because of the human element of relationship around us. Because if you look, even if you're married here today, if you look at people around you, there's always a bit of trust issues. There's always that what if question. What if I'm going to step out? What if I'm going to share my heart with somebody and that person is going to sort of tell the whole world? Or what if we sort of test people? We sort of do a lot of stuff because we've sometimes been hurt in the way that we've grown up. And especially in our father relationships, we sometimes come with a bit of a backlog because we don't trust easily, you know, and so we look at the world and it sometimes looks to us as Christians as if the world has got more fun. But I can tell you, I can promise you, normally the fun is just around drinking or around events and things like that, emotions, but there's not real trust in the world at all. If you're working, you'll be knowing that, you know, people just want to scheme and connive and they want, yeah. But trusting is to, firstly, starts to relinquish control, to give up control. You cannot trust if you are controlling your life. You cannot trust if you are in control of your life. You cannot trust if you are trying to control somebody else. And we become masters of control. Why? Because of our society. It's birthed in fear. The fear of rejection, the fear of failure, the fear of not being good enough. We struggle to trust because of this control issue. And we cannot really live in God's fullness in this year and in our lives if we are in control. Because the good news is he's on the throne. The bad news is if you're on the throne of your life, you're going to have a hard time. You're going to have a tough time. So it was so amazing to me when we spoke to this pastor and he shared a testimony of, I think, 2 years ago. They had a lot of people from the West or from Singapore specifically that sponsored their ministry. And then the Lord said, just let them go. Just tell them no. Because money became an issue for them. And these guys, these church leaders that were sponsoring them were trying to control them through the money that they gave. And then the pastor just said, sorry, we don't need your money. We want relationship. But we cannot have control because if there's control in our relationships, then do you know what? Then the Holy Spirit hasn't got freedom because then we motivate each other by fear. You're not good enough. You're never going to be good enough. And if you maybe sometimes are good enough, then I'm going to give you a little bit of a reward. But you know that God in that way never motivates us by fear. He motivates us by love. And that love is unconditional. And I love what David says. He says, Lord, you are a strong tower. You are my refuge. You're my rock on which I stand. The only consistent thing that you and I have in our lives is God. You and I don't even know whether we're going to live tomorrow. You don't know if you're going to make it till the end of the year. You can have everything together. You can have your bank account together. You can have all your policies right. You can have everything sorted out. And yet you don't have a guarantee. I don't have a guarantee that I'll make the end of the year. Why? Because my life is in God's hand. Your life is in God's hands. And the amazing thing is if I just start to relinquish control, then it's so much easier to trust. But control makes us build walls around us. Control makes us keep people far from us because we don't like to be vulnerable. Would you agree with me? We don't like to open up our hearts and to sort of almost seem to be imperfect. I've got good news for you. You are imperfect. You are not perfect. Otherwise, you would have been Jesus. And that's the amazing thing. If we just realize where we are, then it's so much easier to trust, because you cannot trust if there's control, and you cannot trust if there's not brokenness, vulnerability. And you and I have to work at that, because it doesn't come naturally for us in the society that we live. The society is all about the outward appearance. The society is everything that, what do I drive and where do I go and where have you been on holiday and what did you do this holiday, you know? And that sort of puts identity and significance to who we are. Or we say, if I'm successful, then I'm in charge. But God says, come and worship me with your whole heart. I want the circumcision of your heart. That means everything. I'm not interested in 80%. God is not interested in 92%. God is not interested in 99%. And the other news I have for you is that you cannot trust yourself. He says, lean not on your own understanding. Now, understanding is a bit different than knowledge. Knowledge is of all the stuff I know and the skill, but understanding is sort of my experience, my life. He says, when you talk about understanding, it's almost like knowledge applied. What has happened? Lean not on your experiences. Don't lean on the past. Don't lean on stuff that you think that those things define you. Because if you really trust God, then simply only God will define you. Can I get an amen in this place? Okay. We did something in Myanmar. We call it shake your neighbor. So we're going to do that this morning so that everybody is awake. So will you just shake your neighbor and say, lean not on your own understanding. Okay, so it simply says, don't trust yourself, don't trust the experiences, don't trust the past, don't trust the news. Don't trust what you hear around you. Trust God. It is so simple, but you know how difficult this thing is, because it's easy to trust when you're in control. It's easy to trust when you and I know the outcomes. And so sometimes we try to control God. We try to say to God, God, you do this year or in my life, God, if you do it like this and this and this, then I will do this and this and this. Huh? Come on, be honest. We tell God what he must do. We try to control God. We tell the Holy Spirit when he must move, and we tell God what he must do, and God, you must do it now. And yet Scripture says, rejoice always, give thanks in everything. It means in everything, the good and the bad. Rejoice in the good and the bad. And that is a sign. Thanksgiving is a sign for me whether you are in control or not, or whether God is in control. If somebody has really got a thankful life and a rejoicing life, then I can see whether they have surrendered or not. Because they say, they really believe that Romans 8 says, hey, God will work all things together for good to those who love him and those who are called according to his purpose. Do you believe that even the bad things that come against you this year or that has come against you, God can work it together for good? Do we believe that? We believe that whatever comes into your life this year, it's either God sent or it's God used. Either God sent it or God is going to use it for his glory, for you to come closer to him. So if you really trust, then you're not worried, then you're not anxious. And yet today, do you know in Europe, 80% of people go to a head doctor, go to a psychiatrist, especially the young people. I don't know if that stats is right for the older people, but I know for all the under 25 people, they all go to psychiatrists. Because there's something wrong with our society. We're in trouble. Our culture is in trouble. Because we are not so well as if what we think and what we persuade ourselves to be. Because of the individualism and the focus on self, and I'm going to sort it out, but you can't. You have been made to worship God. You and I have been made to glorify him. We have been made for a life of purpose to know him. And anything outside of that will make you depressed. Anything outside of knowing God will not give you peace at all. Do we trust God? The second thing that scripture tells us is we need to consecrate. We need to live a life of consecration. Now, our persecution here in the West is a bit different than the persecution in Myanmar and lots of these other nations. Our persecution is the intellectual one, is a comfort one, it's very different. It's a one of distraction. It's a one where there's so many options. So it's not like somebody comes to you and say, hey, I'm going to kill you if you don't serve God. It's almost like the persecution is a bit different. It's an invitation to get distracted and to live another lifestyle outside of a biblical lifestyle. It's an invitation to compromise. And that's why the scripture says, he says simply, acknowledge him in all your ways. He says, don't lean on your own understanding. Don't trust yourself. Don't think you're good and don't think you're going to make it. That's pride. You know, one of the worst prides we find is spiritual pride. And in Stellenbosch, I must very acknowledge that you know, you go to other places and then you hear a lot of people say, hey, Stellenbosch people are very snobs. We've arrived. We've got a university. We are intellectual people. And we've got mountains. Those people from the States, the free states, they don't even have mountains, you know. Look at how beautiful and how nice everything is. And yet our challenge is that we have got so many options that God just becomes another option. Yes, God, I'm also going to serve you, but you know what? Here's my life. I'm going to do my things my way. And you know what? Maybe I'm going to consider following or knowing or having a hunger for you. Well, when you go to the East and when you go to these persecuted countries, you see that they don't have another option. Every day, even their being, their food, everything, they are so dependent on God. Our problem is we have too many options. Yes, maybe I am also going to read my Bible. But I've got so many other options. And that's why he says, acknowledge him. Put him first in everything you do. Not just when we come to church, not just when we go to small group, but in everything you do, do you acknowledge God? Because he says, then he shall direct your paths. With that, he also says, do not be wise in your own eyes. You know, pride is an ugly thing. It's the only people that God says that he himself will resist. He says, I will give grace to the humble, but I will resist the proud. Because pride makes you feel that you're better than other people. Pride makes you feel that you're better than the church around. You know, we're charismatic people, so we sing in tongues and we do a lot of stuff. We have got the gifts, but oh, that other church around the corner. They're not really like spiritual, you know. And yet when you align yourself with the Bible, then you realize, oh my God, I'm a chantas, I am not spiritual at all. Let your standard be the Bible. Then we live in a life of humility. Let your standard be the book of Acts and you say, God, I realize that I'm falling short. So I'm not, then I never compare myself with other people. I want to live according to God's will and his standard. Can I get an amen? Okay, shake your neighbor and say, do not be wise in your own eyes. Sure, some of you enjoyed that too much. I saw some of the married people, do not be wise in your own eyes. Can you hear the Bible? It's amazing how sometimes we come to church and we come and we say, sure, I really think that this would have been a good sermon for Johnny. I wish Sarah was here. She had to listen to this. So much change in her life that must take place, you know. And scripture says judgment starts. Yeah. Repentance starts right here. It says, do not be wise in your own eyes, sir. Yeah, but I've got it going, you know. I've been doing this Christian thing for a long time. I know what it works. I know the formula. And there's no formulas. There's only relationship. If at the end of this year your life has not grown in relationship with God, then you have backslidden, sir. If you haven't got a bigger hunger for God and a greater revelation of who God is, then you've backslidden. Otherwise, you've just maintained your relationship for another year. We become professional Christians, you know, because we know what's the right thing to do. We become good Christians, good people. But God is not looking for good people. He's looking for believers. When the Son of Man comes back, will he find faith in the earth? Will he find faith in your life? Will he find a surrendered heart? Because that's what he's looking for. At the end of this year, can you give God faith? Can you give him true trust? Can you say, God, I've surrendered more to you this year. I've known you, come to know you. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit, because that Holy Spirit is the seal of promise. It's the seal of God. It's the down payment. It's the engagement ring that we have on our lives that reminds us every day that, hey, there's going to be a day that I am engaged to Him. And there's going to be a wedding supper of the Lamb. And I'm living this year. I'm living my life for that day. I'm not living it for this day. And that's what the Holy Spirit will do. If the Holy Spirit has got that freedom in your life, then there's a hunger, there's a thirst. I don't know if some of you experienced it maybe over these holidays, but seeing all the people come and go and all the people doing stuff and being at the sea, I felt like a stranger a little bit. And I thought, they said, God, I don't belong here. This is not my home. But you know, how many Christians, sometimes we live as if this is our home, as this is it. This is not it, people. We're living for something greater. We're living for His cause. We're living for His glory. Can I get an amen? Okay. Don't get rooted here. There was friends of Vidius that were here from Guatemala. And missionaries that this guy gave up everything and went there and they started a school. Just amazing testimony. And we were talking a bit about roots because they wanted to come and show their children all the stuff here back home, because this is where they grew up. They're South Africans and they've been away so many years. And as they were standing there, I was just thinking a lot and it sort of just did a lot of stuff. And I realized, but this is actually not our roots. This is not the place where this is not our home, people. We have our fancy homes or we have this or we have that place, but this is not your home. If you feel too comfortable here, you're in trouble. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Do not be wise. Live a life of surrender to the Holy Spirit. The third thing that he says is, fear God. Fear God. Depart from evil, he says. If we fear God, then we realize there's a holiness in our lives because there's an account we give to Him. He says, trust in God. Rely and be dependent on Him. Don't be dependent on yourself. But then he says, in the center of that scripture, he comes and he says, fear the Lord and depart from all evil. We live in an evil world out there. And the promise is you're gonna be healthy. Let me read that scripture again here, verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Depart is walk away. Make a constant decision this year to walk away from evil. Our world has become more evil than ever before. When you look around you, it's not going to get better. Depart from it means you pack up your bags and you walk away from evil. Maybe it's something in your life. Maybe it's a sin culture in your life. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's something that you're holding on to. Maybe it's something of the past that you're holding on to. You have to pack your bags and you have to walk away this year. You have to say, God, I'm departing from evil. And it's a constant decision, because if you've gone on holiday, or maybe you're going away for a weekend. And especially if you have, like, I've got three ladies in my life and one man. But you know what? How much packing we do. Sometimes we're going away for one evening and it feels like 3 months. I stand there and by the time we get into the car, it is like I'm overloaded. The car is overloaded. It's just like, I don't know, this is the ninth miracle of the world. Ladies can pack things. I think they pack as if it's going to be the last week of their life. I don't know. Maybe it's going to be there. They always expect. Ladies are very expectant of the second coming, I believe, because they take everything they need with them, you know? I'm just like amazed, you know, just one suitcase after the other, just like pff, the whole car is full of stuff. Okay, so men, those married men, you're not allowed to laugh too loud. Just look straight in front of you and just focus, okay? But it's amazing, yeah? It says, fear the Lord and depart from it. Are you willing to depart from evil this year? Are you willing to walk away from those cycles that keep you binded and in bondage? It's a constant decision you have to make. Because you're going to be tempted to go there. You're going to be tempted to go into greed and to lust and to just say, hey, I'm going to watch television and watch this for the rest of my life and just veg and have no purpose. Depart from evil. Walk away. And listen to these promises. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. You see, many Christians are weary. Even many people in the world, they're weary. They don't have strength in their bones. They don't wake up in the morning and say, yes, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. They just think like, oh, this is another day. Lord, help me. Help me. Now, that's a good prayer to pray, but not every day, you know. Lord, please be with me. He's sort of like, oh, you know, just trying to make it. They have no strength in their bones. They've got no strength in their spirit. And God wants you to be like that eagle that just flies up there and soars on the Holy Spirit. While some of us are like chickens down here. We're just like trying to make it and just scrub for the next day. And God says, I want you to mount up with wings as eagle. I want you to run and not grow weary. I want you to walk and not to faint. Those who wait upon God. Those who have a fear of God in their lives. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions, it says. Honor is that place of worship. Honor is when you esteem somebody. You know, going to the Middle East and to India and lots of these countries, I envy them a little bit. Not a little bit, a lot, actually. Because they have a culture of honoring. They have a culture of celebration, while we have a culture of individualism. I remember being in Singapore a couple of years ago, and we went to this big church. I think it was 20,000 people. And we emailed this pastor. We didn't know him. We sort of emailed the church. And that Saturday when we arrived, the pastor actually came to greet us at the station. And then the pastor took us through the church. And I was thinking like, wow, this is amazing. And then the next day, this old lady came after the church service. You know, first we had lunch with these people because they had like six services, and so the pastor was busy, and so some of these elders came to sit with us, and so now we're sitting there and eating, and they like just blessing us just for being there and honoring us, and I'm sitting there and I'm listening to this one guy says, oh, okay, what do you do? No, he's the head of the military of the nation. Okay, and then I listen to the second guy, and he says, no, he's the minister of welfare, okay. So now I'm realizing, oops, you know, behave yourself, you know, and I'm thinking what my grandmother taught me on eating habits, you know, and eating manners, you know, Tani MC, you know, what was that, Tani? Was it Tani MC? Tani MC, some of you remember Tani MC. Tani MC is still alive. Is she? Yes, bless her heart. You know, she's got health to her bones. But in any case, so because she's been having the right table manners. But so I was sitting at this lunch, and I was thinking, like, here's this minister, here's the head of the army, here's all these people, and they're taking time off to just bless us with being there, you know? And I was thinking, like, they don't even really know us, but such an honoring culture. And then after the lunch, we were sitting there and waiting for the train or something, I can't remember, and this old lady that could barely walk came to us, and she was walking away, and she said, oh, who are you? And we greeted her, and she was the pastor's mother. And then after 10 minutes, she came back with a bag full of ice creams. Because then she went to the shop, and she bought ice creams, and she brought it back to us. She can barely walk, and I was thinking like, wow. And the elderly are honored and celebrated, and gray hair is like glory, they say. And I loved it so much because I realized like, wow, God, you can do revival in these nations. Why? Because they're never going to take the glory. They're going to honor you. They're going to place you first. They're gonna always give. They're gonna always be humble and then say, God. Isn't that amazing? But you know, when there's also a bad side of that. Let me show a picture. We went to this pagoda place. You can see that big picture there. Now this thing is like massive. This is one of the main Buddhist temples in the world. And so they've got like this, these things are all gold coated. No, it doesn't do really reference to it, but this little tower here on the right is probably like, I think what, 150 meters high. It's gold plated. So just the top part, that little part right there on the top, there on the right hand side, weighs like 500 kilograms. It was built in 1315. 500 kilograms of gold. So there's a couple of $1 billion of gold that you can see in that picture. It's massive. And I realized that embedded in the culture is a culture of giving, because every 3 years, all this gold is replaced. And every day, all these Buddhists, thousands of them, come to the temple to come and honor their gods. Then you go to India, the same. Every corner you get temples, and they come and give them money, and they come and give their times. 5 o'clock, the thousands and the millions of Hindus are standing there. Then you go to the Muslim faith, and you see 5 times a day, turn, pray to Mecca. A dedication to gods that do not even exist. And then sometimes we look at the Christians and it's difficult for them to get out of bed to worship their living God. And there you see these temples. We didn't go inside because I don't believe one must go inside of these temples, but we walked around. It takes you quite a while to walk around. See all the gold and you see the people bowing, beating the bells and praying and living a life of goodness and of emptiness. And then I get struck by, I say, God, why do we, especially in the West, have got no dedication to you? We have got no consecration. We really live as if you are here to serve us. Because even coming to church, I'm doing God a favor if I come to church at least once a month. We're not going to get religious now because we're free. But we've lost the fear of God, people. We've lost the holy reverence where we say, God, all these things, even my cycling, all my other stuff, God, I'm not going to put my exercise and my other stuff before worshiping you. Why do all the other religions that worship dead gods get these things right? Because there you see millions, billions of dollars of gold of one of the most poorest nations. People that barely have food and they give. I'm not talking about money today, people. I'm talking about something in our hearts. I'm talking about the fear of God, living a life to please God and to know Him. To say, God, I want nothing more than living for you. I want to live. I want my life to be a worship song. I don't want to just sing nice worship songs. And I'm not saying we must be religious. I'm not saying we must, you know, become uptight and all that stuff. But there's something in our hearts that's lacking. There's a consecration. There's a hunger. There's a thirst that God wants, that the Holy Spirit wants to bring. But only if you let go, only if I let go, only if we allow the Holy Spirit to take us to that place where there's no control. Then we'll have a revival. Then we'll start to wake up in the morning. You know, like this pastor, Mang's wife, every morning she just wakes up. Nobody told her to do that, but she prays from 3 till 7. And sometimes she falls asleep in his church services. So he says, on Sunday, you're not allowed to pray in the morning. You know, just a dedication. Because the Bible says, hey, when Jesus turned around, he says, don't talk about, you know, the Pharisees and all that stuff. But he says, but your righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. They tithe in mint and everything and all that stuff, and they do all this stuff. Jesus said, no, don't be religious, but your righteousness must exceed their righteousness. Let our freedom not become an idol. But in the West, we don't have the fear of God, and that's the problem. Because we live as if we're not accountable to anybody. Sure. Not too many loud amens here this morning, huh? Just shake your neighbor and say, hey, he's talking about somebody that you know. I'm going to end off with two things, and the one is we find here in Philippians chapter 3. A prayer, and you must actually start reading from Philippians chapter 2. Just see the heart of Paul, where Paul cries out. And Paul, there's this almost uncomfortable place that Paul comes to in his life, in his consecration to God. And in Philippians 2, he talks about the humility of Christ. And he says, you know, that Christ has come to lay down his life, and that he came in the form of a servant and a bondservant. And he says, we must be like-minded. We must serve each other. And we must come to a place where we worship God. And it's not about you competing with somebody else. It's about that thing in your heart. And I love here, we're in chapter 3, where he comes and we catch sort of the middle part of it. And he starts in chapter 3 with his pedigree. And he says, well, if you talk about the Pharisees, if you talk about the learned, if you talk about all the great stuff, then it's me. Then you're looking at me, he says. You're seeing the right guy. You're seeing the top-notch, you know, the master PhD, double PhD, triple multiplied PhD. You're looking at the top-notch man here. Yeah? So he says, let's not argue about competition or all that stuff. And then his heart starts to kick in. He says here in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted lost for Christ. When you count something out, you measure it out and you say, I've got all these things. I've taken the cost and I said, it's loss. It's gone. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I might gain Christ. That rubbish is actually a very strong word in the scripture. It's like done, like poo. He says all those things I've counted, I've measured it out, I've counted it out, I count it as loss. I count it as nothing. For the excellence of one thing, of knowing Christ, of knowing God, it's rubbish. So that I might gain Christ, and listen to this, and be found in him, and not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. He says, this is not my righteousness, it's not my right standing with him, it's not, but that I might be found in him, because it's his righteousness, it's what Christ has done. And I've got this longing, I know where I am, that's not where I want to be, but I want to know him. And I've counted those things loss, I've left it behind. Listen to verse 10. This is where his heart's cry is, that I might know him. That I might know him. Now, Paul knew God. He at this stage, he's in prison. There's a lot of stuff around him. There's a lot of persecution. He's known God. He's seen God on the road. He's done a lot of things, and yet he could pray the same. He says, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained, that I've arrived, or I'm already perfected, but I press on. Listen to this. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. This is not a hunger or a try to pursue because I'm desperate. He's already laid a hold of me. I'm his treasure. And now I'm just stretching out. Listen to this. Then he comes back, verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Whoa. Why are you going to read these words at home? Just read it for for chapter 2 and 3. It's life-changing when you begin to see how scripture says, there's the goal, there's a prize. He says, I'm forgetting. Some of you must forget some of the stuff of 2016. Don't take 2016 into 2017. Forget some of the stuff of 2010 and forget some of the stuff of 25 and of 1937. Forget those things. Pack the bags. Leave it behind. Depart from evil. Stretch yourself out, that you might know him. This is really my prayer for you, and I trust that there'll be a hunger and a thirst in your heart to know God, to know the power of His resurrection, but not just His breakthrough, also the fellowship of His suffering, to be able to embrace what Christ died for. And that means that you're going to need to live a vulnerable life. That means that you're going to need to get yourself into places where you're going to feel very uncomfortable, where God is going to break your heart for what breaks His. Many Christians are not, they don't want to go there. We don't want to get out of our comfort zone. Why? Because, hey, we're afraid of that vulnerability. But if you're a true Christian, then what's going to begin to happen is God is going to begin to show you things. Things that you don't have control over. Things that you can do nothing about. But in the Spirit, you can stand before Christ and you say, God, I'm stretching out. God, I'm standing in the gap. God, I'm interceding for a town here in Stellenbosch that is so full of itself. So full of pride. So full of, we've arrived. We've got everything. We don't need God. And then God is looking for a group of people that would stand in the gap and say, God, because we are here, will you extend your mercy? Will you extend your grace and not judge us? Because we're part of these people. We're not higher than them. We're not better than them. But God, we want to stand in the gap. God, we want to know you. Not just me, but this whole town, this whole church. We want to know you, God. And may that be your prayer every day. May at the end of the year you just say, God, I've got a greater hunger. I've got a greater thirst. I've got a greater desire to know you. People, why do we lose that? Because we get distracted. Because we lose the fear of God. Because we become wise in our own eyes. Because we trust ourselves and we trust our circumstances and we trust our bank balance. But will this be a time in your life, and I'm just urging you to let go. In this year, just let go. Just say, God, I want to know you. God, no boundaries, no comfort zones, no. And He's going to take you to places that's going to be tough. And He's going to take you to places that's glorious. I want to show you a little clip, and it's not been edited or anything because we just came from the plane on Friday night. So I'm still halfway, somewhere between Dubai and... So this is... We actually have got another 3 hours. Because I'm still on Myanmar time. Amen. Lock the doors. Okay, we're only starting the service. Okay. Praise God. There is no, you know, often, I must get out of church because, you know, there's just like church all day long. I'll show you a little clip just of, and Luan dances there in front of every people. So don't look at him. Look at all the, there's you'll see there in the background, here in front, these little kiddies. I just loved it. The children. When they worship, they just involve everything, you know. We're going to dance. We're going to praise God. You know, at a stage we said, hey, let's have free worship. My khuna. We just were like went on and on and on, you know. And then it's like holy chaos. And I said, God, I want that because you know what? We get so reserved, you know. We get so dignified around God. We're not going to involve our bodies in worship, you know. We're not going to go bananas for Jesus because what are other people going to think when I dance before Him? Now, we had to wear these lungis. It's almost like rocker, you know. Don't even want to say it in English, you know, because maybe some people, it's like almost like a dress, you know. And then you fold this thing. It takes you long to fold it, you know. There's some of the guys on the team that got it right the first time. Took me a long time. You know, I felt very uncomfortable because that's what the men wear. They have like these lungi stuff. And then you have to praise God for women. Hallelujah. I don't know how you wear the dresses. But so dancing with those things on wasn't so comfortable, you know, because you just think like, is this thing going to fall off? You know, I don't know what's going to happen. You know? So you have to dance in by faith, you know. You just like dance, you know, and it's just like, if you lift both hands, then you know this is a risk you're taking. This is really, Lord. Because you just want to keep the one hand close enough so that he doesn't fall, you know. Because we know all the scriptures of David that dance half naked before God, but I don't know if I'm ready to go there. But in any case, so, you know. So we had this stuff on. But then you just, at a stage, you just let go, you know. So I want to show you 30 seconds of just how the church worships there, you know, and the little kiddies there on the side, just watch in front. It is crazy. The kids go more bananas than everything, you know. So I don't know if you've got that clip. know most of you just saw Luan's hair, but that's all right. But you must look there on the left. There's these old men, just 70 years old, going bananas for Jesus, you know, with those lungis on, with that, you know. Obviously, they perfected the dance. And these little kids in front, and they just say, we're going to stamp on the devil's head, you know. Now, okay, you can stop it. Otherwise, they're not going to listen anymore. Okay, so we've locked the doors. We've got hula hoops for everybody here this morning. We're going to become a bit free in church. But you know what amazes me? Here is a persecuted country, people that are dying for the gospel, people that are suffering for the cause of Christ, and yet they've got the greatest joy. They've got such hope when they worship. They just don't need a one song or a two song. It just comes out of their spirits because they found that joy. They found that hope in Christ. They found that place of surrender. And it's not like we must be jealous of the church. We must just say, God, we want to fear you. God, in this year, we want to know you. God, in this year, we want to grow in our knowledge of you, but a revelation knowledge, a surrendered knowledge, so that our hunger just increases. And sir, if you've lost your hunger in the last year, just come back. Just pack your bags. Depart. Say, God, this year, I'm not going to live like last year. And some of you, before you rush into this year, you must take some stock. You must say, God, I don't want this. I don't want this in my life. I don't want this. I want you. I want to know you. I want to know the power of your resurrection. I want to be called a man and a woman of faith. I want to stand before you where I know that I've not just experienced you in some events. I've come to know you face to face. And God, my heart is just like, maybe in 2016 it was 70% surrendered or 30% surrendered, but now it's 50% surrendered. I'm not going to try to be perfect, but I forget those things that lie behind. I stretch myself out. Will you stand with me today? As I prayed for this morning, and especially this morning, the Lord showed me that there's a lot of people here that are struggling with heaviness and depression, and the Lord wants to set you free today. Because you know what we do? We all do these New Year's resolution things, and apparently, according to stats, by February, 98% of New Year's resolutions have been broken. Because we try in our own strength, you know what? We try to do stuff. Oh, I ate too much. I'm going to try to lose fat. I did this, but you know, maybe I'm going to be really committed to do this, get this quiet time thing right. And do you know what we do then? We build in structures in the flesh and on the outside. But we don't realize that it's in our brokenness, it's in a trust, it's in a, God, you have to do it. Because I can't do this in the flesh. Then I'm going to just perform, and I'm going to maybe last 3 months, and I'm going to, yes, I'm going to read through the Bible 3 times this year, and I'm going to be very committed. But then the focus is not on a surrender. The focus is on me again. So the good news about today, that there's grace. Grace is an empowerment to do the will of God. And when we're humble, Scripture says God gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. It's an empowerment to grow in hunger, to know Him. It's not a fleshly thing trying to persuade yourself or psych yourself up to become a better Christian. It's just a surrender. That's where it starts. And yes, then the discipline comes in. Yes, then the reading of the Word. Yes, then the accountability with other people. Then the fellowship and the getting your life in order and departing. Yes, all that stuff, but first, it's in a surrender. First, it's in a dedication. It's in a consecration. I just say, God, I cannot do it. It's in a repentance. And there's some of us, our prayer is that this year you will not walk in that anxiety that you walked in last year. There's some people here that are struggling to sleep. There's some people here that are... You're not a happy chappy. You don't have that joy. That which you saw then, that video, is supernatural. It is not natural of people that do not know where the week's food is going to come from. People that do not know whether they're going to live out this year because of persecution of Christ. And they say, we're going to run in Christ. We're going to stretch ourselves out. We're going to kick the devil. It's not natural. So my invitation to all of us and to myself, I'm just preaching at myself here today. Are you willing to let go of control? Are you willing to surrender? You say, God, I'm going to forget this thing. Some of you must just say, God, help me to forget because I can't forget. Help me to forgive because I can't forgive. Help me to let go because I can't. I just, everything inside of me just hangs on to that thing. So I'm going to ask you, and especially the older people, are you willing to humble yourself this morning before God, not before man? Are you willing to say, God, I want to know you. I want to have a heart to know you, to be a worshiper in this year. I want to live a surrendered life, but it's so difficult for me because I'm a control freak. Are you willing to let go? Are you willing to surrender? So we're going to sing a worship song. I'm going to ask you to come, maybe just stand in front, maybe kneel in front. If you don't know Jesus here this morning, then come and surrender your life to Him as a Savior. If you need healing here this morning, come and surrender your life to the healer. If you are depressed here and anxious and heavy laden, you've lost hope, you've lost your joy, just come and say, God, help. I want to know you. But not a God that I control. Jesus, you've already laid a hold of me. Now I want to lay a hold of you. I want to draw near to you. I want to know you. In your power, in your sufferings, in your resurrection, whatever it will take, I want to know you. So as we're going to start singing, I want you to step out from where you are and just come and stand in front. I know for some of you it's a bit out of your comfort zone, but it's between you and God. Otherwise, just in this day, just take an hour off somewhere. Just go. Just go somewhere on a mountain. Say, God, I want to lay hold of you. No more programs. No more spiritual events. We rely on the events to psych us up when we have the Holy Spirit. Just you, God. Not church, just you first. Then church, then discipline, then all for you first. Too many of us live our relationships with God through other people. You can't, sir. Stop watching those YouTube clips. Get in the Word. Get in the Word this year. Say, God, I want to know you. I want to grow in getting to know you, God. Holy Spirit, I need you. So here we are today, Lord. Just a broken bunch of people coming together on a Sunday morning. But what we know is that you've called us. You've laid a hold of us, Lord, on the cross. What other response can we have but to surrender? But we don't do it because of obligation today. We do it because our hearts, Lord. We want to yield our hearts, not our garments. We want to render our hearts, God, to you. It's so difficult for us, Father. because we've become obsessed with ourselves. We've become obsessed, God, with what we can do and whether we're better than the other Christian or the other church around the corner. But God, we want to know you, Lord. We want to know your Son. We want to know your Holy Spirit, Father. God, I pray that today you'll deliver us from this comfort zone and you'll deliver us from the fears that bind us, Lord, to letting go of control. God, deliver us from the fear of failure and the fear of rejection. Lord, deliver people here this morning from oppression and heaviness, hopelessness. Lord, there's some of us that have lost hope for our own lives. For some of our family members around us, we've been praying, God, and we're discouraged. But God, we say this morning that our hope, our trust is in you. We trust you, God. Lord, we prophesy over this year that this will be a year of trust and surrender. And Lord, we repent of leaning on our own understanding and being wise in our own eyes. Even on behalf of this town, Lord, we are wise in our own eyes. We've got beautiful buildings, beautiful mountains, beautiful businesses, beautiful university. God, all this stuff, but it's all man-made. It will vanish in one moment when we see you. Oh Lord, we want to know you in the power of your resurrection. We want to know you in the fellowship of your suffering. We want to be conformed to the image of your Son. So then people out there look at us, they don't see us anymore, they see Christ. Father, come, Lord, we want you to circumcise our hearts, Lord. Wholeheartedly, Lord, we want to worship you. It's so difficult for us, Father, in this generation, in this world that we're living, so many temptations, so many distractions. But Lord, we pack the bags. We depart, Lord, from that place this morning. In the Spirit, we depart, we walk away. Help us, Holy Spirit, to walk away from sins, from evil, from distractions, from the voices, God, that wants to minister to us. Lord, there's some of us that have got so many voices here this morning that it's difficult for us to hear your voice. And we pray that you'll deliver us from that evil. Deliver us from the voices that speak to us, Lord, that minister to us, Lord. Let it just be the voice of your Holy Spirit in this year. Hallelujah. If God has been speaking to you and you want to come to the front, just come to the front. Just between you and God as we're going to worship. We're going to just sing this one song and just take a moment where you are. Some of you, we're going to take oil. We're going to consecrate you. We're going to just say, God, this is a consecrated vessel. Some of you need to consecrate. Just come by faith and say, God, I want a hunger to increase in my heart for you. A knowledge of you. A revelation knowledge.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.